Good afternoon, everyone. We are right in the middle. How you doing? Are you as encouraged as I am? One of the things that I enjoy about God, among the many things, is that even though God doesn't give us every single point and detail of everything, but when you look back at what God does, you see the details fall into place. And this is what we really are talking about with promises made and promises fulfilled, is that you can see all through time how God has weaved his story in order to bring about his purposes and accomplish his goals. One of the interesting things about what I'm going to speak about is that today, starting at 6 p.m., is Passover. And many people around the world will gather to celebrate their first Seder. There's two Seders, but the first one's tonight. And but the sad part about it is many celebrate it just because it's tradition. It's what they do. But the same thing can be said for us. Many people will come to church Sunday morning because it's Easter. And that's what they do. You get, check it off the list. I went to church on Easter. But what's even sadder when you look at the Passover is that the people who celebrate the Passover have failed to see the greater reality to which the Passover points. The Passover's been fulfilled. The Passover lamb has been slain. A greater problem than the Egyptian captivity has been taken care of. Slavery to sin has been broken. The Lamb has been raised, and he's reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when I think of our, you know, the Jewish people, it saddens my heart a little bit to think that there's all these riches that's in their Bible, but yet they don't see it. Our text is that we're going to stay in, even though they didn't do a long listing. I gave a long listing of verses. Exodus chapter 12. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to, as I read through it, kind of just explain it instead of doing a whole bulk of, because I am doing selected verses. But let's pray. Father, I praise you. Father, I am so grateful for what we are celebrating today. The fact that you sent your Son to come and die for us to take away our sins. But it's so much more than that, Lord. It's the fact that we have fellowship with you and that we live through you. And we also have the opportunity, Lord, to tell others of what you've done so that they can also have fellowship with you, Lord. Lord, as I explain the Passover, Lord, from what the scriptures show, Lord, I ask that you would take my words and use them to bore deeply into the hearts of people in order that they may see that the Passover lamb is the one who was slain on this Good Friday. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting right with verse 1 in chapter 12, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on that day of this month every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for the household.'" The interesting thing about this is, as I said, that God is very, the way he lines things up is that this is what we celebrated last Sunday. The lamb came into the house. The lamb was brought into Jerusalem, presented on that 10th day. And as we go into the next text, you'll see on the 14th day is when you're supposed to sacrifice that lamb. You count back and you reckon my Jewish calendar of 6 p.m. to 6 p.m., sundown to sundown, you'll come up with Friday. And God is just that neat. I have no other word for it. Just that neat in how He just brings things together. So I'm not going to talk much of that, but that first passage, Jesus' triumphal entry coming into Jerusalem, is the fulfillment of those first three verses. Going to verse 5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take from it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roast it with fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head and its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until morning. Anything that remains until morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belts fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you will eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." It's these verses that God is giving Moses the instructions of what they are to do. They haven't done it yet. But what's interesting about what is going on today is that when a Jewish household will celebrate a Passover Seder tonight, there will be no lamb. And there hasn't been a lamb in the Passover meal for almost 2,000 years now. There hasn't been a Passover lamb celebrated since the temple was destroyed in AD 70. They have no way to properly prepare the lamb. So what do you do? Well, they've issued some substitutions on a Seder plate that has all the elements, bitter herbs and all that kind of stuff. They have a lamb shank, and it's just a bone. And all it does is represent the lamb. And then what they've also done and introduced into the meal is an eating of a matzah, a piece of matzah that represents the lamb. So, and the interesting thing about this matzah that represents the lamb is that it's a Greek word. And the Greek word is called aphikomen. Well, think about the connections here. What kind of Passover is it? It's Jewish, right? How did you get a Greek word into a Jewish ceremony? And there are many different excuses, reasons offered, but literally, aphikomen means that which is coming, or actually it can mean he came. And what I have here is I have my little makeshift matzah tofs, and what it has is what they offer is they have three pieces of matzah. Okay? And then the middle one, which is called the aphikomen, they break it. And what they do with the middle one, actually they do the smaller piece, is they hide it. Are you seeing the connection yet? They hide the aphikomen, and then they go and they let the kids find it later. And then it's celebrated later on in the meal. And it's interesting, you know, they'll offer, why are there three? Well, some will say it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Isaac was broken. Well, Isaac wasn't really broken, was he? The son was broken, obviously, but Jewish people can't go there because then they would have to accept their Messiah. So, if you have Jewish friends, bring it up. How do you get atonement? What about this aphikomen? Bring those up and maybe you can point them to their Messiah through the Scriptures and through these festivals. I would like you to notice further down in the chapter, and it's that it's mentioned that this is to be a statute for all times. In verse 24, it says a statute between you and your sons. Down in verse 43, it says about it being a statute. And then Pastor Bob alluded to it earlier that they are not to break any of the bones of the Passover lamb. And that we have another prophecy in that for in Psalm 34:20, but also that's what happened in John 19:36. They didn't break any of his bones. So we have this thing that they can't really fulfill what they're trying to fulfill, which points it into our direction. But if you would look at verse 21. It says, Then Moses called the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourself according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out the door of this house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come into the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And the people bowed their heads in worship. Then the people of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did." Now this is obviously the actual observance of the Passover that they did. And they performed everything they did. But if you notice, they put the blood from the lamb on the lintel and then on the doorposts. And then the Lord, because it doesn't say that, it says that the Lord will pass over. So the Lord is the one that is doing the killing of the firstborn. And in our, and Johnny alluded to this, but in our so-called modern sensibilities of how we don't like to think of God as a God of wrath, but, you know, God is just a God of love. And, you know, we've heard I'm sure you've all heard this statement that says, "Well, my God would never do that." And my answer is usually, you're right. Your God would never do that because your God doesn't exist. The God of the Bible is a merciful and just God. God's mercy far exceeds our sinfulness, but he is also just, and therefore sin must be paid for. I think that we really don't completely understand this, the seriousness of our sin, even as believers. We tend to kind of push it down a little bit and say, "Well, we all mess up." Or, "Well, I'm just human." Or, this is the best one, is that "I'm a good person." And if you take the scriptures, we're not really that good at all. The good person is Christ. But we don't just mess up, we sin. We desire our own way. We're separated from God and we have no way of earning any favor with him to repair that separation. We've heard this over and over. It's, you know, the tabernacle and the separate, and everything just seems to flow together on how God has taken care of it. But right now we're at a point is where we have no answer. And then it's this point where the Lamb comes in. John 1:29 says, John the Baptist speaking, he says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, I could suppose that you could say, you know, that doesn't prove that Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover. You know, maybe John is just using language to say that, you know, all the sacrificial system and this is all point. And if you want to say that, fine, because Christ fulfills all of it. You know, but in specifically here with the Passover, this is what John is referring to, is that lamb that takes away the sin, that blood that has been covered. And interestingly enough, in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. The New Testament writers believe Christ to be that fulfillment of the Passover. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter, if you would, chapter 1. And I'll start with verse 18. It says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. The interesting thing on that is that even the language of using ransomed brings us back to that Passover, because the people of Israel were ransomed out of Egypt by the Lord. And again, it comes down to is that what does this mean? What does this all mean to us? First thing that it means to us is that the covering of the lamb in the Passover points to the removal of your sins by the lamb. Secondly, is that the lamb was innocent and willing. In Isaiah 53, 6 and 7, it says, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In John 10, Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to lay down his life for the sheep. And the interesting thing he says about it is that it's he that lays it down for his sheep. No one takes it from him. He lays it down willingly. And also, he has the power to take it back up. So what I see when I start thinking of this is that even in the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, we see the substitutionary work going on. I mean, we've seen it all throughout Scripture, even before that. But when we're looking at this, we see that the sacrifice is substitutionary. We can't do the sacrifice. We can't cover ourselves. We need to be covered. We need to have our sins removed. And then, most importantly, is unless you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, you will die. You'll die in your sins and you'll stand before a holy God. And you will stand there on your own. You will not have anybody as an advocate for you, before you. And you will receive justice. You'll receive what your sins deserve. But the encouraging part is that if you've placed your faith and your complete trust in the work of the Lamb on the cross, you have received mercy, and the penalty of your sins has been removed. So as we look at all these different promises and fulfillments, we need to keep in mind that there's a lost world out there, and we have a responsibility. For those of you that are covered by the blood of the Lamb, you have a responsibility to show those that aren't, show them the Lamb. And show him what he's done for them. So I would just encourage you to, as you go about your days, and even on a Good Friday when someone says, why'd you go to church for 3 hours? Say, well, this is why. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise you. I thank you for the Lamb. I thank you for the blood that covers my sins. I thank you for the fact that you have saw fit to come down and to ransom us from ourselves, basically, and covered us from your own wrath, Lord. Lord, I just ask that you would encourage each and every believer. Encourage them to, one, rest in the fact that they are redeemed, and then also encourage them to go out in boldness and to preach the gospel to all the world. We just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.